talking to them as if they're infants, not even children. He says that the maturity is so lacking that he's worried. I mean, according to him, Cheerios in the pews is not an option. Goldfish scattered on the floor around you is not even an option. I saw somebody carrying, Jerry, a broom and a dust. They're fighting about silly things. They're forgetting that God and his work matters. Paul says they have a lot of growing up to do. Now, of course, I can't tell you how this argumentation was received by the Corinthians. My guess is there was probably a mixture of anger and shame. How dare Paul treat us like we're little babies? How dare he talk to us like this? Does he not know how long we've been in the church? Or shame. Maybe, perhaps, he's got a point. And whether it comes down to this or that, maybe it's safe to say that Paul is trying to make us do a little bit of soul searching and focus patiently on growth, and the sooner the better. Yeah, you know, with all that in mind, I just want you to notice that there's actually one thing that should jump off the page for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 and 9. And I mean, we've talked about, admittedly, this is a win I'm going to show you, but as you're looking at some of the sharp, biting criticism, you might go, well, that's kind of a small win. But it's a win, okay? It's a win. So let me show it to you here. He doesn't just call them infants. He actually calls them infants in Christ. And oh, what a difference a prepositional phrase can make. See, most of us know that being in Christ means that we have blessing upon blessing because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's even a theologian, Lewis Smedes, who once wrote, and I'm going to get a little deeper into the end of the pool here, okay? In Christ represents what he would call this situational Christology. To dwell in Christ is to be located in this new cosmic situation that Christ ushered in. Through Christ's sacrifice, the whole universe turns this corner from darkness into light. The powers and principalities are put to flight. God's ultimate victory is cinched and assured. Believers get this via faith and being combined with God in baptism, grace and baptism. See, when elsewhere Paul says, "Behold, there's a new creation," what he means is believers bear this newness in their hearts right now. We participate in the future glory of the new heaven and the new earth, but we do it right now. Right here, even in this broken world. And so if you pause for a second and let your caffeine-soaked brain or goody-soaked stomach take that in, it should mean that anytime we hear the phrase, in Christ, that should mean joy. It should mean peace. And yes, this should also help them and us to realize that the Corinthians are being, well, a little ridiculous. And it's not just true of this chapter, but they get into these little arguments. My spiritual gift is better than your spiritual gift. Really? They doubt the resurrection. They have lawsuits that take place in the body of Christ. Men are shacking up with their mother-in-laws and other such sexual deviancy. Poor people are being left out of the sacrament. And the list goes on. See, Paul is more than subtly saying, come on, folks. We know better than this. We're in Christ. Well, they obviously had a lot of growing up to do. These Corinthian believers. But then, who doesn't? See, honesty and perhaps a little confession and absolution should compel many churches, including one that seems to be situated on the corner of grace and peace, of all places, that when it comes to certain things, we have some growing up to do. People here have some growing up to do. pastors here have some maturing to do. And we all need to notice this as we unify ourselves around a new vision, toward a new goal of becoming the kind of place that's really about taking the cross of grace and peace to form a community of uncommon servants. Now, with that kind of laid, I can't think of a better time than to transition to this. So if you can pull this handout out, if you have that. Now, for some of you, you probably have seen this handout at assembly meetings or at leadership meetings, and you're probably going, oh, wow, I know this really, really well. For some of you, you've probably seen it for the first time or near the first time. Don't get overwhelmed by it. Don't be overwhelmed by the nomenclature and all that's there. Let me just walk you through it, okay? First, I just want you to notice what's called the kingdom concept. That's this Venn diagram at the top. This is supposed to be where passions and people and place converge. It's who we are. It's even more what we are by the grace of God. God has worked incredibly in Zion's past. People's lives have been changed in a passion to know the gospel and to show the gospel has been shown. God has intentionally given us a place here where we can work his harvest field. The vision team thought that as the combined ministry of the past, it quickly thought of one word. So if you're going to kind of distill this big wordy statement down, there's one word there that I think you ought to be sort of proud about. As we thought about Zion's place, Zion's excitement, Zion's passion to do ministry, they thought of the word invested. Wow. That says a lot about you, a lot about us. Time, talent, treasure, and testimony to God's glory. Now that takes us to mission. Mission embodies the kingdom concept, puts it into ongoing action, aims us for the future, taking the cross of grace and peace to form a community of uncommon servants. Now, this is our mission, but let me say it like this. This is also our permission to do the Great Commission. So we're still doing the Great Commission, just this is the way that the Great Commission will look and feel and sound and taste and feel in touch around here, taking the cross of grace and peace. Now, that moves us to values. These are the immovables. These span the entire ministry. These are the bedrock understanding of who we are. You know these. Scripture and worship and community and growth and service and outreach. Now, I will tell you, as we went through as a vision team, four of these we said right away, we understand them and live them really well. Two of them, we have some growing to do. I'll let you figure out what two of those are. Next, if you look at the bottom, we've been talking about measures. Measures, and they spill over to the back page. Measures are the attributes that tell us if we're a success or not. We have metrics that need to be watched, but these are the metrics to see if the vision is taking root. Now, clearly, and I want you to see something here, according to our text in 1 Corinthians 3, we want to give thanks because through a lot of the programs and things of the past here has planted the gospel. But God gives the growth. As we go into the future, we'll plant the gospel. God gives the growth. Then, if you see at the bottom of the backside, okay, this is our plan for year 1 and year 2 and year 3 to 5, year 5 to 10 time frame. It's all laid out there. You can ask any questions that you want after the service. Now, with all that said, I want to take you back to the front page, and today I want to talk just a little bit about strategy. So the cross here is supposed to be, and I could put it up there, but I want you to hold on to it. This is supposed to be the crossroads of grace and peace. Now there's four words that are around the cross that hearken to Zion's past. And those three words that are a part of Zion's past guided it well and made it and formed and shaped it with great understanding. And that's worship, grow, and serve. Well, they're there. They're just different. How? Well, in the upper left, if you take a look, let me walk you around this. In the upper left of the cross, there's what's called lift. Lift is one. Now, this speaks to the act of worship together. Its importance, its joy, how we're dedicated to it today and into the future. Folks, we have two worship spaces. We have people that have dedicated 25 years of volunteer service to worship. Incredible. We love to lift as one. Now, next to that is learn. Learn or learn together. It is my passion that we need to deepen our discipleship together, each person here. Now, that happens in worship, sure. But you know what it means? I think we need that. This needs to happen in smaller ways, with smaller sets of people that can get around care and the Bible and fellowship and missional activities together. Now, Chris is talking about this a little bit. He's talked about it in various ways, and other people are trying to put the details on this. We're trying to hammer them out quickly but purposefully, but you're going to hear about this in the next few months or so. This is also that we can broaden our community and our congregation, deepen our walk, no matter what your starting point is. Now, the next one around there is love. And now that's next to learn. Now, we're going to call that love in action. This is service done from a response of God's love to us. Now, this could contain an explicit gospel witness, or it could just mean an extraordinary love of Christ simply put to work in ordinary ways and in ordinary days. Think about it this way. Mark chapter 4 talked about seeing that the mission field, the harvest is ripe. Well, in order to see that the harvest is ripe, you have to go into the field. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to serve those around us, loving our neighbors in simple, everyday sort of ways. Finally, there's live as in live it out. This is planting the gospel. This is sharing our story, our testimony, what God has brought us through, the challenges, the celebrations, the difficulties, knowing how God has formed and shaped us, our story that leads to His story, that leads to His. In everyday ways and in structured ways. Now, one of these is being, okay, those last two, let me kind of give you a feel here, live and love. We're going to try to live those out, or we're going to try to do those in two larger events as a church. Little commercial. On April 18th, we as a church are invited to go to Habitat for Humanity at Nagel School to work, no matter what your age is, no matter what your aptitude on construction is, to come together with lots of other churches and lots of other people and lots of other schools and lots of, whether you're young or old, doesn't matter, and live the gospel out, live service out together as a community. Now, none of this should seem odd or out of place, because, I mean, in the past, Zion has packed food packets and done Habitat builds in Jerusalem markets and absolutely free garage sale events, okay? They unite, they enliven, they make sure you're not just first service or second service, you're not just young or old, or you just I just go to women's night out, or I just go to this service. No, we come together. And we come together to receive God's grace and peace, and then to take it with us. Now, that's a lot. Okay, you've been hearing about this for the last few weeks. This is no small thing. I just have to be honest with you. It's not a neat and tidy thing. We don't have all the answers figured out. But to that, I just have to say this. Thanks be to God. Because here's the thing, if we had all the answers figured out and it seemed really easy, then the vision wouldn't be big enough and we would feel confident. So you know what? We wouldn't need Him. We just go out and do it. But we don't have all the answers, and so how does this kind of work out? Well, we have an idea, we're working it out, we know a plan, but we need God's grace. So how is this actually going to, how much is this going to cost? How do we start? What do we do? Right now, I need to know. We need God's grace. Thanks be to God for the largeness of His grace, the largeness for this vision, the largeness of the tasks that are before us. And who knows, maybe someday we'll all actually grow up in maturity after the manner of those that have gone before us. And you know, in this I have great confidence, for after all, as infants in Christ, you and I, we have nowhere to go but up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, wow, we've been talking about this for some time. I thank you for the seeds that have been planted. I thank you for the wisdom of professionals that have come. I thank you for the excitement of those that have sat on vision teams and leadership teams and are on things that, on teams right now that are hammering out details. Lord, we're not at all saying that you haven't been at work at Zion in the past. We know you have been. That's why we're sitting here. But I also pray, O Lord, that as we go this direction, the direction that you seem to have ordained for us, called us to go in this direction through prayer and diligence and study and work and sweat and wondering. Lord, as you call us in this direction, we need your grace. Because as things change, we're going to need your grace. As things don't change as fast as we want them to, we're going to need your grace. As we go out and we do something and it just doesn't turn out the way that we thought it would, we're going to need your grace. And as we encounter a really messy world, of which we were once called from there and now know of this cross and grace and peace, we're going to need to show them grace. Well, I think there's a common denominator there. Heavenly Father, draw us nearer day by day so that peace and grace is what we both live and receive here, and then go out and know and show to your glory. To your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We take a moment now.